Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall. And we're also brought to you by BetOnline. Continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. And Adam, before we get into the show, speaking of bet online, I don't know where your bracket is. Mine is completely at work at my trash company in the garbage. I ain't even looked at it to see. I think after the first 2 hours.
This is the first time I've looked at mine. Let's see. And this one that I'm in the 64th percentile. So I'm eighth out of 15 in the group that I'm in.
Well.
So, but, you know, things could pan out. There's a lot of UConn picks of the win it all in this one. So,
and that's who I had to pick to win it all. So, I guess, you know, as of right now, and I had the chance to jump on your other show last night. Appreciate the invite. And that was a lot of fun. And just watching UConn last night. And we said we're going to start off with baseball. But, you know, when you look at the teams like a UConn and seeing where Arkansas is at and seeing what they need, it's been a glaring difference in what it takes to win a national championship, especially when it comes to the tournament. You got to get up two games, you get a week off, then you got to go another two. So with this many open spots coming open, and still, I mean, there's signs that saying he's coming, he's out recruiting. You know, there's really, truly been no official word on the status of that. I mean, it's all hearsay and speculation or how you want to take it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see looking at what they need. I know we talked about it last night, a few of the people, and we can talk about those guys again, but not seeing too many people out there that can come in and fill these roles that can make this team a national championship contending team.
No, I mean, last night, I think you said it best that if you're going after these mid-major guys, you're going to need to bring in, you know, two to three that are scoring 18 to 20 a game.
Yeah.
And the guys that which I've got the slides here, I'll pop up. Yeah. These are just the four guys that we know of that have been in contact. One of them is visiting this week. Supposedly last Friday, Musk spoke with one of the dads of one. So, you know, we've got Mikael Brown Jones, let's see. But again, you're looking at, let me take this off here. You know, you're looking at 18 points, 7.5 rebounds, UNC Green, in which I think he had right around 17 when he played Arkansas.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we've got Sam Alexis from Chattanooga, 11 points, 9 boards for Chattanooga. DeShane Montgomery is the one that he must supposedly had met with or spoke with his dad, last Friday. Mount St. Mary's. And then Josh Cohen is the one that is visiting this week. He's supposed to be visiting Fayetteville. I don't know when, but he'll be out there this week. But, you know, 16 and 7. So, I mean, you hope that those guys come in and can do something. But at the same time, it's just, it's tough to say.
Yeah.
Because I look at, like, Cohen, and then I just look back at Grant Nelson, you know, while he was at North Dakota State, and then going to Alabama and, you know, dropping from whatever he was at North Dakota State to, I think, about 11 points a game for Alabama. And I just don't see it. But at the same time, you know, you just want, you know, you have the whole trust the process thing in your head. But after this season, it's kind of hard to do.
And it's the fact that you just, again, you might score 18 and then you come play for Muss and it's a whole different ballgame. Or you might score 10, and then you come here, and it just depends on your how you fit inside his style.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we've seen you got to have these NBA type guys, and you got to get some guys that he sees that can get you to that next level. And it's almost kind of like what, you know, when they had that article about Coach Neighbors and what he needs to do, and that, you know, the reckoning he faced of, okay, I don't need to get puzzle pieces. I need to get people who can elevate us to the next level, you know, that can take us to what would be on the men's side to that Final Four national championship style. And that's going to be a tall task. But having the year they had, and you come back next year and you bounce back, and then say you get in the tournament, another Sweet 16 run, all's going to be forgotten. Because now you're back on that trajectory of now you could see that, okay, you didn't just get saved by the roster that you had with, you know, Nick Smith, Walsh, Jalen, all those guys. It's very similar to what we've talked about Sam Pittman. You don't get saved by super seniors or that one class. If you prove that you can do it again, when you lose that set of that roster, now people's going to start trusting in you more, and now you're really going to be able to elevate your program.
Yeah, I mean, I know I question things over the past few years when he's gone. I mean, even I'll look back at Jalen Tate, Stanley Amude, Justin Smith. You know, these were guys that, you know, I questioned, and obviously they came in and did what they did for Arkansas, which was tremendous. So, you know, I guess you just kind of have to try, which it's hard to do because it's so fresh, but try to forget about this year when comparing who, you know, who he's going to be bringing in or whatever. But everything's still so fresh right now. It's hard to have that, you know, positive outlook, if you will.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things, too. It's you look at the 8-10 season the year before, and now we're seeing this year. Hopefully you can see some guys. But I think the biggest key is you've got somebody coming back in battle, supposedly. I mean, he's going to test waters. We'll see. But I'm basing this off if he comes back. You got a guy like Battle who's clicked. You know he's coming back. He could lead the team, and he's a scorer. And nothing against Devo. You knew he was coming back, but you didn't know what kind of score he was going to give you. You didn't know, like with Trevin Brazil, you didn't know what he was going to be able to give you this year. We've seen what he could do last year, but with the injury, you didn't know what was going to happen. And then all the other new pieces coming into the team, that is the one edge that Arkansas is going to have going into next season, is they got a guy, hopefully, that's coming back that can give you 30 points a game. And if you find another one of those guys, like the guy from, is it UNC Chattanooga? Or not UNC.
UNC Greensboro.
UNC Greensboro. I don't even know why I said Chattanooga. It's in Tennessee. But but if you bring in a guy like him that's giving you 18 on top of what Battle can give you, that's a start. And then you get the rest of your roster to start clicking. Now you're on the right path of just getting a couple more guys to start clicking and firing off when one's down. Kind of gets you back on the right track.
Yeah, I think guys have to come in and understand roles. I think that was something that was lost this season. We've seen it almost every year. Somebody had a particular role, and this season it was like nobody would accept the role that they were supposed to be given or supposed to be playing. And it was just, there was too much, but we've all said it, we've seen it. There was too much I with this bunch. There was not enough. I mean, team ball, you couldn't, you know, if Mark had a down night, there wasn't somebody else that you could say, okay, that they're going to step up and give you 20 to 25. Or if this player, I mean, there wasn't anybody there. So there was too many nights that, you know, it ended up being one of our leading scorers at 10 points, and the next person was at 11 points or 8 points. I mean, there was a lot of that spread out. I know we had more, I think, or was it last year we had more players in double digits? Was it last year? Yeah. I think this year we only had two.
Yes, two this year, yeah. And again,
so, you know, and there was too many times too, even with Mark, that I felt like, I mean, there was games that he just disappeared in, that he just never got going. And that's no shot at him. It happens. But there was just nobody to alleviate that when that did happen.
Yeah, and you needed them in the big moments too. You look at this is another thing that if Battle comes back and that leadership, he's going to win you games that last year this past season you don't win because you have somebody else. You've got a guy that because you need help. I mean, he can't do it all by himself. So if he comes back and he's that leader, you're going to win more games that. Because you know what you're getting out of him. So you just need that other guy that can come in. And then you got two guys that can kind of carry the team from the main standpoint of scoring. You get a guy like Mark or whoever's going to be on the roster next year to give you 15. And then the role players, you said it perfectly. Just realize your role. You don't have to come out and think you can score 20 a game. You got four guys that can give you 10, 7, 15 a game. And then let your other guys go get it and score 20, 30. That's where the balance is. But you need to play defense as well. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a huge thing.
We've seen, playing a role still can get you to the league.
Look at Jalen Williams. Yeah.
Jalen Williams, Jordan Walsh.
Yep.
Jordan Walsh, granted, still going back and forth on the two-way with Celtics, but he also went to a team that didn't necessarily need him on the roster. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those that he's getting to sit back and learn and, so he's going back and forth on his two-way contract, but him playing a role still got him drafted.
Yep.
And so that's what guys need to understand a little bit, that just because you get drafted high into a team that has a lot of holes, if you will, doesn't necessarily work out in your best favor. Stanley Umude did get hurt and he's out for the remainder of the season, which I think is about 13 games. But if I've seen anybody work their butt off between the G League and making the best of every moment that he gets, it's him.
Yeah.
And, he's a guy that you never questioned him, but it was just, what is he going to be in the NBA? And every moment that he's gotten, he's proven himself early. And I feel the same way with Ricky Council.
Yes.
When he gets his moment, he does what he can. I know Mason Jones didn't really get a chance to actually play on the Kings main roster. But in the G League, he had back-to-back triple doubles last week. And so he's making the most of what he can while he's there.
Yeah.
So these guys have it in them. It's just a matter of, are you going to accept what's asked of you when you come onto a Musselman coach team?
Yeah. And that could be another thing where we've seen so many guys just come in and fit in, and guys come in and just be a role player. And you could have them guys that's just what they expect. Okay, I'm going to come to Arkansas and I'm just going to immediately come and play. Look, Tate and the guy that come from Indiana, I slipped my mind his name, the one that come from, goodness gracious, I can't think of the guy that I'm thinking of that come in with Tate. Down low guy that was able to get you some buckets. You just never know what people are thinking when they come into Arkansas and the role that they're going to play, and if they expect playing time and they don't. We hear so many times about these broken promises or these, especially in the NIL stuff. Who's going to be that guy that comes in and be like, well, I thought it was going to be this. Well, I've got to work for it. And then they earn more of a role on this team. There's a lot of that goes into it as well.
Now I'm looking to see. Was it Vance Jackson? No.
No.
He ended up sitting out or towards the end of it.
I can't remember. I'll have to look back on the roster and see which one I'm thinking of. It was just a couple years back. But the point I was making
Justin Smith came from Indiana.
Yes, yeah. That's him. Justin Smith, yes. But they've had guys that have come in and just made immediate impact. And I think that's what might have happened too. These guys just think they're going to automatically come in and make an immediate impact, and that don't work out that way. Or they get to around a coach like Musselman that has all these demands and all these expectations out of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get courted and they're talked about. They're the best player in the nation and we want you to come do this and that. But when you get here, it's time for business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the lights go out. It's time to go to work. And sometimes it hits them faster than they're ready for.
And I know we've all gone back and forth with, the the famous Larry Johnson to Nolan Richardson, and you need to go get you some men, or, you know, whatever it was. But we look at the teams like UConn and some of the others in the NCAA, and that's who we get dominated by. Or in the past, recent past, that's who we've gotten dominated by. And, you know, I looked at, like, we, you know, we're top three, top five in the nation in blocks all season long. But we were going for so many blocks, it made sense. How many of those blocks did we not get that then in turn we're giving up a dunk or a layup after, you know, a dish off because we've completely sold out on a dunk or on a block? I mean, how many times did it burn us?
Exactly.
I mean, so it's one of those that I feel like that you've got to get one to two guys minimum that can come in, clean up the boards. You know, you don't have to demand 20 points from them tonight. They have a role to play. Play it. Go in there and clean out the paint.
You got teams like Tennessee, Gonzaga, Purdue, North Carolina. Alabama's back in there as a four seed. They're back in the Sweet 16. You got teams like Marquette, but then you got Duke, Purdue, two teams that Arkansas has beaten this year in the Sweet 16. And that's where the consistency comes in. San Diego State, Houston, Duke, you know, now you got Illinois and Iowa State. You got these teams that play consistent ball, and you got to – I mean, you go look at the Tennessee-Texas game. It was 62-58. You got battles. I mean, Gonzaga-Kansas. I mean, Gonzaga blew out Kansas. But who are you when it's time for, say, like, look at Alabama playing Grand Canyon. You know, they're an up-and-coming program, but Alabama beats them 72-61. When it's time to step up, when it's time to prove that you're a championship contender or – you're a consistent team and you want to win the SEC or you want to make a run of the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. You know, Arkansas, I mean, Musselman knows what it takes, but does the players know what it takes? And are they willing to do what it takes to get to that point? Everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody wants a ring. But the dedication and pride that it takes to get there and sometimes swallowing that pride to get there, are they willing to do that?
I think that's one of those that I think sooner rather than later, and I don't know where in the process it would happen. You know, does it happen when you're just meeting with players for the first time, going over stuff, or is it when they've committed that you've got to have that come to Jesus meeting? That rather than waiting for halfway through the season or when the season's over with, when is that conversation going to be had of this is what it's expected, this is how I see you fitting into our team, this is what we expect, et cetera, et cetera. Are you going to be able to fulfill that?
I'll bring up three coaches and three coaches that I've had, you know, you see how they run their program. Two that I've talked with. Lance Harder, Colby Hale, and Dave Van Horn. They expect excellence from the time you step on campus. And Colby Hale, one of them, is not afraid to tell the girls that when they come on campus, if you're here to party and hang out and live a social life, you're not going to play at the University of Arkansas. Look at the track program. If you're here and you're not willing to try to be an Olympian, represent your country, or be the best that you can be, because we're going up against the best in the world, we don't want you here at the University of Arkansas. And they'll tell them flat out. That's the expectations. Dave Van Horn's the same way. He's got the pick of the litter. He can get any kid he wants to in the country, but it's the understanding of if you're not willing to put the work in to get to the pros or be the best in the country or best in the SEC, go find another school. That's how you have to be, because if they know the expectations from the get-go and really know the expectations from the get-go, you're going to get more out of them. And I think that's where some are afraid to be that way. There are some coaches that are afraid to be that way. They want to be too nice. And you watch a lot of your players go to other teams and where the expectations are higher and they develop and they become better players. It's the truth, but you see it in too many other programs where people leave your program and they do just as well, or they're going to other programs that are at your level or above your level and succeeding.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always happen. I mean, we've seen a number of cases. It's taken some of these guys that have left Arkansas two more schools. Yep. To finally latch out, but some of them have.
Yep.
Jackson Robinson is one, BYU. He was killing it over there.
Yep.
You know, with KK Robinson, yeah, it didn't pan out at Texas A&M, and I know Euler's a step down, or Little Rock, whatever you want to call him, but he went and did his thing. And now I know, you know, Barry Dunning was one that I wish Mus had kept.
Yeah.
And he announced today he's going in the portal from UAB. And he's one of those guys that I think we look back on and will be, you know, we should have kept. I think Layden Blocker is going to be in that mix of players that we should have kept. You know, wish them all the best. It's just it didn't work out here. But yeah. I think ones like that sting a little bit more.
When you see their potential,
mm-hmm.
and you see what they can do, and with everything else going on around you, you miss that. And I think that's the thing. When we look back at this year's team, there was so much outside stuff going on that you missed the things that was going on the court until now when you're looking at the film. Or the ones who truly, I'm not going to say everybody, because there's people who believed in Blocker from the get-go. There's a lot of people who believed in Devo from the get-go. Dunning, you know, there's a lot of those people who knew what they had when he was at Arkansas. And to see them kind of slip away, fall through the cracks, and go somewhere else, it does sting, because mm-hmm. they could have been great. And it's numbers. Now, I don't know how many roster spots you have now, but now you're having to throw a bunch of puzzle pieces into this puzzle, and hopefully it sticks. Hopefully it works, because you got OU and Texas coming in. We've said that ad nauseum of the two coming in, but the SEC is getting stronger. They didn't perform well in the NCAA tournament, but it's still a strong league.
It is. And, you know, I know I made a post on my personal Facebook, you know, SEC basketball being overrated, and that was just based on bracket busting and everything else. But, I mean, the last couple of years, that's been one of the leagues that are talked about. Time, like, are they going to get 8 to 10 teams? What's mm-hmm. going to be, you know? And then it gets tournament time, and it's a different story. But, you know, you can't knock the teams that are good, because they go into their non-conference schedules and these early season tournaments and they're winning them. They're performing well. It's just the end of the season. It hadn't panned out for them. And then we get to listen to, you know, Alabama fans think that their basketball program is head and shoulders above Arkansas for what they've done. And it's just kind of like, look at the comparisons. It's not,
there's not a comparison.
There's not.
I don't think there's any other than Kentucky, maybe Florida, because they got, and that's the thing where it gets, I mean, they won back to back, you know, but other than that, what have they done consistently? You know, Florida as a program. I mean, where do you draw that line of when national championships are just enough? Because Arkansas has only got one, but as a historical program, they've been relevant since the 70s, you know, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. You know, they've had all these teams. Go back to the triplets and then Todd Day, you know, Corliss and, you know, Derek Hood, Kareem Reed, you know, Pat Bradley. And then you go in, of course, this new surge of, you know, Portis and Gafford and now Jalen Williams, you know, all these players and all these teams that have – come through Arkansas, the Alabama comparison's not even close. I don't know why they're – I mean, just because they're having a few recent years of success, but, I mean,
they know it gets a rise out of us. But at the same time, I think that they truly believe that in their heart of hearts, mm-hmm. which is the kind of crazy part about it all. Like, y'all truly think that y'all are – the upper echelon of college basketball.
Well, and it's and call me crazy, but you look at Gonzaga, a team that's never won a national championship, but they are a lot better program than some of these teams that have won one. because they have been consistent for 20 years. I mean, you go back to when we was in school, Dan Dickow and Gonzaga, when they first started coming on the scene with Few and winning these, they were the Cinderella that just never stopped. The clock never struck 12 for them. And now they're a program that's one of the top. And now they're going up against Purdue in the Sweet 16. And it's, you put a program like that against Arkansas, and it's a close comparison. And you could lean either way when you're talking about a program overall, who's got the better program? Who's more nationally relevant?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to just do with their, I mean, we'll call it what it is, their dominance in college football for so many years. That so the second they're good in any other sport,
oh yeah,
I mean, it just carries over.
Well, now that their coach is gone, now they're searching for something else to be relevant in. And they're still going to be a powerhouse in football, but we're, you know, everybody's chomping at the bit to see them fall because they've been a king for so long, and now it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. After the commercial break, we're going to break down some portal news, Kim Mulkey news. Seems like she wants to be, you know, everywhere at the team, and a few fun things about her. And then, of course, the news of Jersey going to LSU. Talk about that. And then we'll wrap things up with a baseball series and softball gymnastics news to wrap up the show. And what we'll do, we'll take a quick commercial break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Spring. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And welcome back to the Hog Talk podcast. And we'll jump right back into the baseball team. Unanimous number one team in America coming off a series win over Auburn. Almost getting the sweep, but coming up short, 8-6 in game three at Auburn. They have Little Rock tomorrow night in versus Little Rock, and then they have LSU. We talk about popular rival. We were talking about that last night, where we consider LSU as that consistent rival when it comes to baseball. Eighth-ranked LSU Tigers come to town to take on the Razorbacks, and that is going to be one. They have, I mean, an excellent pitching staff as well. But it's always good to beat LSU in anything. And with this pitching staff, with Hunter Hagen-Smith, Tigert, Molina, I think we broke it down, what, five? They're five guys, only one loss in their starting rotation.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's crazy what we're seeing right now. Barring a, you know, again, I hate saying this because I'm not trying to put anything out there, but barring an injury top to bottom, I mean, this is probably the most loaded team that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
All around. And their bats, honestly, we talked about last night, their bats, we don't feel like that they've really got going. And I know what you pulled up last night, that we had outscored opponents by 40 runs. So,
yeah, they're outscoring opponents 148 to 57.
Oh, yeah. So almost 100.
Almost 100. That is insane to, you know, look at. And yeah, you bring up the five headed monster and Smith, McIntyre, Tigert, Fisher, and Molina. Only one loss between those five. And each of them have at least six appearances. And six. Colin, he has four starts, but he's appeared seven times. I mean, you look at the strikeouts. Mason Molina's got 47. Tigert's got 39. Will McIntyre's got 32. And Hagen-Smith has 62. 62 strikeouts in 29 innings pitched. I mean, and you even look at, I mean, everybody talks about Hagen-Smith. And I said it last night. He is having a season that compares to the Kevin Kopp season. He is having that as of right now. And I would love to see, you know how you used to play Mario Kart and you would do the first lap and then you'd have the ghost.
Yeah.
And you try to beat your own lap. I would love to see like that compared to Hagen-Smith and Kevin Kopp. But we talk about him all the time. But you look at Mason Molina, 47 strikeouts and 28 innings pitched. Colin Fisher has 20 and 18. Mm-hmm. Brady Tigert has 39 and 15 or 28 innings pitched. Will McIntyre has 32 strikeouts and 28 innings pitched. All of them, at least a strikeout or more an inning. I don't know. I mean, what's more impressive than a stats like that?
Yeah.
You're averaging a strikeout per inning, at least.
And it's crazy, too, because, like, even, you know, which we've only had the one national broadcast, if you will, but listening to the announcers just enamored, especially, I mean, with the entire pitching staff, especially Hagen-Smith, though, they just seem to be in awe when they put his stats, or their stats even, you know, up on the screen to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, I noticed the game that was on TV, or that was on national broadcast last week on the SEC Network, they were talking about Auburn's pitcher, and they showed his whip, you know, up on the screen. They were just talking, like, you know, oogling over it. And then the next inning, they put up Hagen-Smith's, and it was even better. And it was just like, it was almost like they weren't really fully sure what to say because it was just that impressive.
Yeah, and I hope it's still, you know, look, I mean, you got LSU coming in off of a loss. I believe they get lost a series to Mississippi State. But, you know, it's going to get harder. And I think even though the first couple of series in, everybody's like, okay, wait till SEC and then it's going to change. I mean, other than game three against Auburn, you've seen total domination. And to be fair, as we talked about last night, game three didn't happen underneath the starting pitcher. It happened in the bullpen. You look at how it happened in the sixth inning. Yep. So, just looking at the earned runs, I mean, they've only given up earned runs 56 runs, the pitching staff. And it just shows you the talent that this team, and everybody's talking about Hagen-Smith and smiling, that confidence and knowing. You're talking about the mind game. What is he going to throw on an 0-2 pitch, and he's sitting there smiling at you, hit my slider, hit my curveball, and just blows it right past you?
Mm-hmm.
That, you keep that confidence going this could be end up being one of the most dangerous teams Arkansas has ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think over the last several, I mean, we talked about last night, there's always been, I say always, there's those teams that have their years, have their moments. We've seen it with Ole Miss. We've seen it with Tennessee, that they just have Arkansas's number, say, in a given series or moment or whatever. And I think that our what we're looking at season-wise, I think this coming up series is probably going to be the one that sets mm-hmm. the tone for the rest of the season. I think it's going to be the most difficult series that we have. Because I think LSU is that team that is going to be up there when it comes to Omaha and potentially national title talk as the season progresses.
Yeah, and that's the, and you throw in a team like LSU or an Ole Miss, Tennessee, mm-hmm. those teams that really, I mean, because you got LSU, Ole Miss back to back. I mean, that's tough to weekend stretch. And Arkansas State, you know, pancaked in the middle, though. The fact that really helps you is, you know, you've got both of those series at home. You've got a 10-game homestand coming up. So you look at, you want to set the, you've set the tone early with your wins against Missouri and now at Auburn. You close out the next two weekends. And when I say close out, I mean you win the next two series is against LSU and Ole Miss. I mean, that just puts you that more out front because mm-hmm. this is one of the rare times where you're in with the East too. So they don't play away from home until Alabama, April 12th. I mean, that's a long time to be at home. So that's mm-hmm. where, again, it's a good thing, but then it's a bad thing because when you play at home for too long, you get complacent, and then you got to go on the road and you play at Alabama, you got to play Texas Tech, and then you go right back to South Carolina, which South Carolina's coming having a down year, but all it takes is a couple series to get things going, mm-hmm. and you're right back in the mix of things.
Oh, I think any team top to bottom, I think this team will be prepared for it. I think opening up the SEC play with Mizzou and then Auburn was a good way to get going. I would have probably liked to play not LSU this early, you know, but at the same time, you want to gauge where you're at, mm-hmm. which is why I like playing the, the college and college baseball series in Arlington.
Yeah.
You know, you like those type of series to happen so you can really look at where you're at with the top teams in the nation. Because year in, year out, there's always, you know, an Oregon State or whoever that's in that with you that you know you're probably going to see again come national tournament time.
And going over the series, you look at the teams you play at home. You get Mississippi State at home, Florida at home, Ole Miss at home, LSU at home. I mean, I know there's no cakewalk when it comes to the SEC other than Missouri because they're trash, but – you have those the schedule set up for you to have one of the best years mm-hmm. and get to Omaha. And when you have LSU, Ole Miss, Florida, and Mississippi State at Baum Walker, and you trade that out with you go to South Carolina, you end the regular season at Texas A&M, but mm-hmm. ask any of those teams, would they trade this year's schedule for any other? It just seems like it sets up perfectly for success.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just gets down to the, you know, the tournament times that, you know, we talked about last night with the way that the SEC tournament and then getting into the regional, super regional, all that, the way that the formats are and change, that got to do what you can, mm-hmm. obviously, in the season to get those higher, you know, ranking seedings, whatever, which, I mean, we're at number one right now. But you want to do as much as you can so when that time comes, it's in your favor when you get to those tournaments. You know, you want the rest, the buys, whatever. Now, and I know in baseball it's a little bit different with the – I don't look at baseball like, say, you would in basketball when you've got a 1 or 2 day buy in the beginning of the tournament. But, you know, you want to look at those things so that it's in your advantage when you get to the postseason play.
Yeah, and you want to keep your reps. You don't want to go tank mm-hmm. because you never want to play down to a competition because that just sets you up for failure. But I think any baseball coach would tell you that if you're in the position and you know you're going to host a regional, host a super regional, if you're in that top eight, that you're guaranteed a regional and a super regional before going into the selection, you just play, and if you lose, you lose. You do not want to set your rotation up to where it knocks you off balance. But then again, you look at this rotation, if it stays strong and everybody stays healthy, I don't see it. I don't see a rotation in the country that's better than Arkansas right now. Top to bottom, I don't see a rotation in the starting rotation that touches Arkansas right now.
And I think that Will McIntyre is kind of a, because he's not talked about as much in this bunch, being the closer like he's been, but he's like an unsung hero in a lot of this, because the games he's coming in and he's going lights out with it.
Yep.
So, you know, having that to where, you know, you're pulling your starter, you know, at five or six innings, fifth or sixth inning, and then you're using one of the other guys for inning seven, inning eight, and then you can bring in Will McIntyre to close things out. I mean, he's been lights out himself. I mean, talk about dominance on starting and closing. Having that is a blessing.
Yeah, and another thing we touched on last night, we were talking about, you're not having to use somebody like Copps. It was a blessing. He got you, but in the end, you've seen what happened when he got rocked. It cost you a bid at Omaha in the national championship. You know, it's one of the things that you got these five guys that can come in, and you have a closer in the mix that's giving you just as many innings. I mean, we'll see as the season progresses and see what Dave Hanhorn does with the innings and really with their pitching and stuff. But if they're set up where they have all five healthy and going, I mean, you're just going to see this thing cruise to – they're going to cruise as a rotation to the end.
100%. I'm anxious to see it. I know tomorrow they move the game from, what, 6 to 3 because of incoming weather. So it'll be an afternoon game. And you don't like to see any of those – midweek games drop, but it is what it is. You know, they're going to be preparing for LSU, so it's a tune-up game, if you will. Not taking anything away against Little Rock, but...
You go back to the 2021 season, and Kevin Copps' year, .9 ERA, 12-1. I mean, we all know what he was able to do. Appeared in 33 games, pitched 89 innings. Right below him, he had Wicklander, had 77 innings to pitch. And then you drop down another 20 innings before you get to the next pitcher in Lockhart and Paulette with 58 and 56. That point is, you go back to how even the innings are this year. I mean, it's 29, it's 28, it's 28, it's 18 and 28. Dead even. Other than Colin, he's pitched 18 innings pitched. But there, you don't have like Hagen Smith and Will McIntyre pitching 28, 29 innings, and then the rest of the guy are sitting at 10. That's the even. And then you even got Frank coming in. He's pitched 14 innings. Gabe, he's pitched 14 innings. You're not even using your whole rotation. You're not even – I mean, that's – what other – again, what other rotation can I point out at six guys, seven guys that are all giving you very, very good outings?
And that was one thing I kept hearing from a lot of Auburn fans this last weekend, was like, and even Arkansas fans, because they were pointing it out too, that, oh, because what was the first game? 1-0. That, oh, we didn't even see their ace. We didn't even see their ace, and we only put up one. And I'm just like, but that's all they have, is this ace that y'all keep talking about in their pitching staff.
Yeah.
So who else do they have outside of that guy? Because it didn't work out for him. I don't know if I would have called any of their pitchers their ace from what I saw this weekend.
Oh yeah. And it's just I can't remember last night, the storming of the field, the storming of the court. When you lose the series, but you beat Arkansas in a Sunday game, I wouldn't say meaningless, because it was Arkansas's first SEC loss.
It was their first SEC win, so I think that was the hype. But I'm like, guys, you lost the series. I mean, you got over the hump, and maybe you needed that win to get something going. But at the same time, like, read the room.
Yeah, it's just you look at that, and it's just another thing that just shows you where Arkansas's dominance is. If you win a game on a Sunday and you're storming the field, you lost the series, though. That's the difference when it comes to baseball. You lose the series, but you won the game. So it's like you won that battle, but you lost the war.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they had their other moment where they TP'd the trees and then Virginia wins the Final Four game. You know, I mean, that's they're used to that at Auburn. I mean, that's just what they're used to.
That was a hang the banner moment, if you will. And I mean, the way we look at it, you know, a lot of the Auburn fans coming out talking about when Arkansas and Auburn played and it was a sold out crowd and this, that, and the other. They kept calling it was Arkansas and Auburn at Bud Walton Arena. That was our Super Bowl, that was our championship. And I'm like, so what was this for y'all? Was this y'all's World Series that your team storming the field after one game out of three that you won?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
And LSU, you know, coming into this series, Luke Holman, he's 0.7 ERA, 5-1 on the season, 34 innings pitched. He's got 56 strikeouts. I mean, they have a stud, you know, and when you drop down below that, you got Gage Jump, 22 innings pitched, 2.38 ERA, 2-0, 32 strikeouts. I mean, they do got some ballers, but top to bottom, it's not even close. It's not even close when you look at the pitching staff and the dominance that Arkansas imposes. And on top of that, you're at Bomb Walker Stadium. I mean, Arkansas is going to be ready to play, and then, of course, LSU's coming off a loss. So how are they going to come in? It could be a very exciting – and I'm telling you another thing, perfect weather.
That's what I was just looking up, was the weather.
There you go. I mean, perfect weather. 70s, I believe, this weekend.
Yeah, let's look. It's actually what I was pulling up here because I see in Fort Smith it's going to be in the 70s. Well, let's scoot up. Yeah, was it Thursday through Saturday this week? So you've got – high of 67, high of 74, high of 77.
Yep.
So, yeah, perfect weather.
So, if you can find a ticket or you can get out the hog pen, you know what I mean, get out there and have at it. I mean, it's Friday. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday at 6, Friday at 7, and Saturday at 2 p.m.
And two of those games are nationally televised, yes. Folks.
ESPN and SEC Network. So
ESPN2.
ESPN2, yes. ESPN2 and SEC Network, which we'll have those. I think you already got those on the schedule for the week as well, right?
Yeah. And then we'll have softball also on SEC Network Saturday morning. So there's plenty. And then they'll be on SEC or ESPN2 Sunday. So you can watch four Arkansas and or basketball or baseball and softball games this weekend on TV.
And switching over to softball, tough weekend for the Arkansas Razorback softball team, dropping to Mississippi State. It was just one of those that, I mean, Mississippi State's 20th in the country, but you've seen that Heron wasn't in the rotation. Coach Dival had a lot of praises about her when it comes to day-to-day. They at the first, they were like, okay, this could be where she's out a while. So in the grand scheme of it, you know, bring her back with caution and see where that comes in. But you can really see a difference in this team, and every year it's happened. She mentioned that of like just that PTSD that's happened to them over the years with the pitching staff and needing that pitcher to really step up and come through, and they get run ruled by Mississippi State on Sunday, 15-7 in five innings. But, you know, Saturday, you won 3-0. So, I mean, you got that crazy game at UCA. They're definitely not the team they were last year that beat you twice. So you need to get this win on Tuesday before you go on the road to Georgia and at Gibby's former team. So, I mean, again, that's going to be one of them things where Danielle Gibson going back to her former team in Georgia. And the tricky thing about this is, Adam, you play Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at that.
But I think that's local time. So that should be noon, noon, and then 6 p.m. No,
that's our time, so it's noon there.
So it'll be noon, noon, and then 7. They play a Saturday, Sunday, Monday series. So, and then you throw Easter in with that. I mean, I know that's it shouldn't be, but, I mean, you have to factor in something like Easter Sunday. You know, you're playing on a holiday, and you're thinking about family and stuff, and you're playing in Georgia on the softball field. So, hopefully, you know, this is just a little bump in the road that can really, you get Robin back along with, you know, Cammon's end and Linestock and the rotation to pick things back up, because we know what they can do with their bats.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have that balance to win the SEC, because the SEC is just as strong as any other sport when it comes to the program in the league. And you've got two tests coming up, Georgia and Missouri, the next couple of weekends. So hopefully they can bounce back and get back on track with that the softball team, which, mm-hmm. you know, the softball team, their stats in, I'll just provide you with the overall stats. But, of course, you know, Kennedy Miller still leading the team with a .452 batting average. Reagan Johnson, .388. Bree Ellis, she has 11 home runs on the year. Kennedy Miller has 6. Halverson has 7. And Gamel has 8. Really proud of Hannah Gamel, you know, bouncing. You know, she's been having a rough go when it comes to, you know, her career and so much pressure on her being an in-state kid. So she comes through in the clutch when needed, but the team that really needs to get back on track and get back in the winning ways, sitting at 3-3 in conference.
Yeah, you're really just hoping that, like you said, this is just that bump in the road. Early conference loss, series loss. So they got to learn from it, move on. Hopefully somebody else can step up with Heron out, but at the same time, that's part of it. It's part of the game. So, you know, the next two series are going to be big for the remainder of the season.
And last but not least, we talk about big weekends at Arkansas. Bud Walton Arena is going to be hopping as the gymnastics team gets the 10th seed in the NCAA regional competition, but they are hosting the NCAA Fayetteville region, which will start this weekend. They host number 2 LSU, number 7 Kentucky, number 15 Minnesota, Arizona, Nebraska, Oregon State, Boise State, and BYU. So that's stacked. And this is where it gets crazy. It's the top two teams from each Thursday semifinal. So they have two groups in this regional advance to Saturday's regional final, and the two from that get to go to the national championships. So when we had Coach Johnson on talking about the track team and you need all these people to qualify, this is almost like a regional and super regional all in one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kudos to the team. Kudos to, you know, Coach Weaver and the program, what she's built. Being able to host a regional, you're praising that they had one meet inside of Bud Walton Arena and got over 10,000 people. Now it's a regular mm-hmm. occurrence that they're having their meets in Bud Walton Arena, and now you're hosting a regional. So nothing but love when it comes to what she's been able to do in this program. We've said it time and time again, the next program on the rise, and good mm-hmm. best of luck to them this weekend. Very, very daunting task when you look at the teams that they have coming in.
I mean, not only just the rankings, but like you said, you look at flirting with the idea of, you know, performing in Bud Walton Arena. Mm-hmm. So you go for one. Now you're having to do 3.
Yep.
And then now on top of that 3, you're getting to host in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that is just, I don't think many people fathomed that this is where they were going to be at. That, you know, now they're sitting here getting 10 to 15,000, whatever the numbers are, inside of Bud Walton Arena for a gymnastics meets. Is crazy, because I don't think you're seeing it in some spots, some places, but those are also the upper echelon of gymnastics in the country.
And the good thing is, you know, you've played Nebraska, you beat Nebraska, you've beat Kentucky, mm-hmm. you know, you've beat some of these teams that you're going to be going up against. So
should be LSU.
It's not all LSU. I'm looking at
should have beat LSU.
Should have beat. Oh yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That's when you get that home cooking. So
home cooking, yep.
Hopefully they bring some of that to the weekend. But I was looking at seeing if they had other teams on the – you had Arizona, and you beat Arizona. So you have beat Kentucky, Arizona, Nebraska. I'm trying to flip back and forth in between the let's see, four teams in the field that they've played. So, I mean, so semifinal Thursday. So there's a play-in meet between BYU and Boise State on Wednesday, April 3rd. Semifinal number one will be Arkansas, Kentucky, Arizona, and Nebraska. So you look at that regional right there, semifinal, that bodes very well for Arkansas because you've beat those teams. And then Thursday, April 4th, so this will be next weekend. Sorry, I misspoke on thinking it was this weekend. It is next weekend, that this goes down. So some exciting things to happen. So you look
at this weekend, though, for those in the Fort Smith area.
Yes, I forgot
about that. You can go to UA Fort Smith and watch the Arkansas volleyball team take on UA Fort Smith at UA Fort Smith on Thursday night.
That's see, they done that at Alma, and my niece went, and that was such a cool thing for them to experience. And this is going to be a very fun and different year for Coach Watson. You know, he's had the success. Then you lose Taylor Head, Jill Gillen, you know, and Courtney Jackson. So the team coming back with Hannah Hogue, I mean, this is going to be one of the things that you see this climb, and we've seen it with softball, we've seen it with women's basketball, and we've seen it in soccer. You know, this this the expectations of your program, and now coming off an Elite Eight run, you know, it's one of them things that this is going to be a very exciting year. So, yes, if you're in the River Valley, definitely go down to UFIS and watch them play.
Absolutely. I know that they're looking to add to what they did last year, and it's going to be a tough task with what you've lost, but you hope that there's going to be those that step up behind them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm ready for it to be here. Last year was pretty, you know, I've not historically watched a whole lot of volleyball minus like whenever I was in college and whatnot, going to games, but it's a lot more exciting than I think people think, like what you actually understand what's going on, you know, the rules and such.
Well, and just the speed of the game and watching, like, when you watch something on TV and then you watch it in life, just how hard they're hitting the ball, hard they're spiking the ball. I mean, it is very impressive to watch these teams and just how high they jump and the serves. And you look at gymnastics and then you can rival it kind of with volleyball, and the atmosphere plays into a lot of that game and the match. And you know, it's going to be a bumping weekend next weekend because you got Ole Miss coming to town for baseball and then the regional in Fayetteville. So the next couple of weekends of Fayetteville is going to be very, very exciting to watch Razorback Athletics. And hopefully we come out of this next week and have another win over LSU. Again, love beating LSU at anything. So A lot of things to talk about, and I'm sure when we come back Thursday, we'll know more about the portal stuff. We'll probably see if there's any new stuff going on with Eric Musselman and see what happens with the rest of this women's college basketball tournament, which we didn't really get into much of that. We'll talk more about that Thursday when we have more time to discuss all that craziness as well.
Yeah, I think this week we'll start seeing some of the portal commitments and stuff start dropping. So I think things will come a little bit more clear as these next couple of weeks come on.
Yeah. Well, Adam, you got anything else before we sign off for the evening?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, brought to you by Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios and Bet Online. And do not forget to download the Autograph app. You see our promo code right there, the Autograph app, your one-stop shop for all things Razorback sports, podcasts, articles, Fan Zone, which everybody can be a part of. Adam is totally hooked on the app and being the number one fan.
Got me beat with the week is early. There we go. I'm coming for you. Don't worry.
Some competition. There's our promo code Hog Talk. Sign up today. Get in on the action. Look, and even if you're not a Razorback fan, If you're out of state, they are dropping $16 tickets to the Sweet 16. They're going to drop national championship tickets, $16. So if you want a chance to get on the action, watch some of your favorite teams play, download the Autograph app, use promo code HOGTALK, get on the action, get in the fan zone, and get yourself some cheap tickets. But that will do it for this episode. We'll catch you on Thursday.